Is Google Bard the least AI of all the AIs? Is TikTok about to crash and burn because the U.S. Congress doesn't understand how Wi-Fi works? We look at Darren Shaw's super extensive report on understanding how to rank for Google's local search results. You're listening to News from the Edge for the week of March 29th, 2023, here on Edge of the Web Radio.
From the Edge of the Web studios, here's what we're looking at this week.
This is the Edge of the Web Radio. I am your host, Morty Oberstein, the head of SEO branding at Wix. We're covering the SEO and digital marketing news of the week, separate from our weekly interview. Getting more news to you even more quickly, be sure to check out our recent shows at edgeofthewebradio.com. This is the SE Ranking Digital Marketing News Desk of Edge of the Web. SE Ranking is the title sponsor of the news from the Edge. We're proud to have them on board, a fantastic SEO SaaS marketing platform. They've joined up with the Edge to showcase some of the key tools to make your SEO journey easier. We'll talk more about SE Ranking further in the show. Joining me this week to share his take on the news is executive button pusher, executive producer and button pusher of this show, Jacob Mann. Jacob, dude.
I think you had it right the first time.
Yeah, sorry.
Just executive button pusher.
I don't want to get things right. I kind of want to get things wrong first and then get them right.
There you go.
But you're going to have a hard time with the button pushing coming up. I don't know can I drop this news?
Oh, yeah, sure. Whatever. It's, you know. And for those of you that are looking forward to see me in the NFL next year, not going to happen. Getting rotator cuff surgery.
You're getting rotator cuff surgery. Yeah. Yeah, too many throws, huh?
It's how it goes, man. I don't know.
Probably more of a pitching injury, though, than a football injury. But.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. Yeah. No one knows how I got it. It's been this like dull pain I've had for a few years, and part of it may have been... It may have started around the pandemic, so maybe I just ignored it and didn't, you know, like, well, it's not that bad.
It was COVID. You thought that thing in the shoulder.
No,
was
but it's like, you know, I'm not going to go and risk getting COVID to find out what's wrong with my shoulder. And it wasn't that bad. But baseball, as my son has started playing baseball, that's what made me realize I need to get looked at because he wants to go throw. And I throw a few balls back and forth and I'm like, I got to stop, dude.
It's like 3 inches.
Yeah.
I can't get it anymore.
It's terrible. Like, I couldn't believe like how quickly my shoulder was hurting. And it's just because day to day, it's just kind of there. It's not that big of a deal. But like, yeah, throwing the ball with him is just not good.
No, I understand. So. It's like nagging, dull pain that's kind of just persistent in the background. I've had that since around May 17th, 2011, when I had my kids. It's nagging,
I was going to ask dull pain. Whose birthday is that?
4:30 p.m.
Wow.
On May 17th, 2011.
So you know exactly when you're... See, I don't know when mine started. That's amazing.
Yeah, I can pinpoint it to the very minute. They came out, they were already crying. Nuts. Just kidding. All right. Let's get into the first article, shall we?
Sure, let's do it.
All right. From search engine land, Google Bard is here and disappointing versus Bing Chat and ChatGPT. Google has finally launched Bard. Here's a first look at indexing speeds, inconsistencies, and search intent on Google's AI chatbot. This is coming from Billy Gina and Barry Schwartz and a whole bunch of other articles over at Search Engine Land. There's a whole bunch of these articles over in Search Engine Land, and people have not been shouting the praise of Bard. There's been a lot of inconsistencies. There's the whole issue of citations. Bard very rarely currently shows citations. However, one does need to point out that this is not part of the Google search experience yet. This is just you testing out Bard like you would test out ChatGPT. It's not part of the SERP and the ecosystem. So let's give Google a chance and see what happens there. But Google then kind of came out and says, citations, what are those? What do we need those for? There's no real need, only in certain cases, blah, blah, blah. And that set everybody off. But again, who knows what it's going to be? But yeah, it's a little bit interesting to see how Bard very greatly differs from Bing AI. Brody Clark, I just saw today, Twitter poll asking SEOs, what do you think is better? Bing's usage of OpenAI and that chat experience, or Bard? And people are overwhelmingly for Bing at the moment, which is the first time Bing has won any poll around SEO stuff ever.
I agree.
What are your thoughts, Jacob?
So the citation thing I thought was interesting because there's no way that would ever fly in any high school or college class. Like if you,
yeah,
I understand you have to, you know, cite anything that's quoted, but it was pretty clear to me at an early age that like if you summarize anything at all, if you state anything as a fact that is not general knowledge, you have to cite your source. So you can say a stoplight has three colors. You don't need to cite that. But if you want to say who invented the stoplight, even if you're not quoting someone directly, you have to say where you got that information from, you know.
Yeah, and that's kind of the issue, right? First off, that's a great way of I think about linking as like when do I start linking to something as part of my SEO work, when do you link, when do you not link, when citation is as a way of citing, linking is a way of citing, so think about linking that way. A little SEO tip for you, but it's a little bit interesting because Google's basically saying, well, there's no need for the citations in many cases, but at the end of the day, what the AI is doing is, well, it's called machine learning because it's not really AI. I don't know why we keep calling this stuff AI. It's all machine learning, but whatever. Right. It's scraping the web and regurgitating it. So why wouldn't you have to cite?
Right. And that's my point.
I understand their point.
I could go Google who invented the stoplight right now, get a name, maybe a couple details, and then create my own content from that. But for any kind of paper that's being graded by a professor, that will not cut it. I have to cite where I got that information from. Right.
And at the same time, you want to offer a continuation of the experience, right? So just leaving aside the citation, if I'm a user and I'm searching for how to change a tire and Bard tells me all these things, but maybe I do now want to investigate a little bit more, give me the citation so I can now dive into the topic a little bit.
It'd be interesting too, because if you ask it something that you maybe know a little bit something about and it's wrong, you kind of want to know why.
Yeah, you want to know why. That was, I had one, this was back in, sorry, no, you go first.
Well, I was going to say, so I got on Bard a little bit today, and first of all, I asked about who's Jacob Mann, who's Aaron Sparks, and who's Morty Oberstein. Same answer for all three. I don't know. I don't have enough information.
Loser.
Right. So then I thought, okay, let me ask something. I said, what is the podcast Edge of the Web about? And they gave a pretty good answer. This is about digital marketing, blah, blah, blah. And then it said, it's a weekly podcast that's been running since 2016. I knew that was wrong. So it's 2012 is when the first episode came out. I missed it by 4 years. So I just replied with, no, it started in, what did I say? I said, that's wrong. The podcast started in 2012. It responded, you are correct. The podcast started in 2012. I apologize for the error. So I said.
And then it said, we were only counting the good years.
Right. But with no citation, I was like, that's interesting. So I said, why did you think it started in 2016? He said, I apologize for the error. I must have confused it with another podcast. Ouch, man.
It's all better. No, but it's true. I was looking at something on Bing's AI chat a while ago when we were talking about the New York Yankees, and it was telling about how great their shortstop was, which made no sense as a Yankee fan. Like, everybody hate that shortstop, and particularly saying how great his defense was. And as a Yankee fan, his defense was not good. It was a problem. And the issue was, is that it was looking at an article from the beginning of the season. And as the season progressed, we came to realize this player sucks. You were able to realize that because it cited where it got that from. You said, oh, that's such an old story. That can't possibly be the updated thing. Or maybe it's not the updated version of this because it's from two seasons ago or whatever it is. But you don't know that with Bard because you don't know what's in there. So citations are a way of at least giving the user a chance to see if it's accurate or not. So if they implement this thing into search, there have to be citations. The internet will lose its collective mind if there aren't.
Yeah. Even if it's just a citation with the date, like you said. So if you're reading it today and it says cited from, you know, 2019, you'd be like, oh, okay, well, there's something newer since then.
Let's give them a chance before we jump down their throats.
They can still change it. It may have confused itself with another AI.
Well, it's easy to do. An identity crisis.
Right.
Well, are you looking for a powerful tool to track your website's rankings? Look no further than SeRanking. This tool is the most accurate and comprehensive of its kind on the market. You can bet on it. With SeRanking, you can track rankings for any location, any device, and any language in all major search engines, including Google, Bing, Yahoo, YouTube, Baidu, and more. It even provides SERP snapshots, storing search engine results pages that the system got while checking rankings. Plus, it gathers data on both organic and paid search activities, and it monitors Google Map results for any keyword. And that's not all. SeRanking offers 50 plus SERP features, checks day-to-day rankings in real time, and allows users to tag, group, and even leave comments for convenient data organization. So why wait? Sign up for SeRanking today and take your website to the next level. All right, article number two, my favorite thing in the whole world, TikTok. TikTok's U.S. future uncertain. CEO faces Congress. Intense scrutiny as U.S. congressional hearing explores privacy, data security, and TikTok's ties to China. This coming from Matt Southern over at Search Engine Journal. So TikTok went to Congress, and as you might have expected, it was a shit show. There was shit slinging. There was a shit show. I'm not sure any of these people know how the internet work, but the point I personally think is a decent point is that while they may not know how the internet works, what an app is, or even what TikTok actually does, China is a bad actor. And I think we need to agree at least on that. The Chinese government are not good people. It is not a good organization. I don't know how to put that any more simply or better than that. And I were a betting person, I would put money on the fact that the Chinese government will leverage, steal, do whatever they want with TikTok data, because that's what they do and that's how they operate. So I think the burden of proof is on TikTok to show that's not happening. And I think that's the one point when I was looking at that Congress kind of got right was, okay, you're telling us that these things are not happening. The Chinese government's not using the data, blah, blah, blah. Prove it. And I think it's a good point. Prove it. I don't know whether now you get into more complications. Should the U.S. government be involved in banning an app? And is that the right thing to do? Is it not the right thing to do? Those are great questions. I personally don't care about TikTok. I hate TikTok. I have no use for TikTok. So if you got rid of it, it's one less thing for me to have to worry about. That's my very personal, I am a one issue voter on this one. I don't like TikTok. So whatever. I don't know if that's healthy for the web. I also don't know if it's healthy for the web to have a thing that's run in a way where the Chinese government can have full access to it, because I have no proof. I've seen no proof. And the argument that I heard from TikTok CEO was not convincing, that the Chinese government's not dipping their finger into this. So that's my take. Feel free to disagree with me. I'm sure people do. I know The Verge put out an interesting post about why the U.S. government getting rid of TikTok is a bad idea. I know there's strong feelings on both sides of that. I don't know. I don't have a good answer about that. I think that if there's a data issue and a data concern, I would say like this, like maybe not the best app to have on your phone. I purposely don't have it on my phone for that reason.
I want to say for the record that you used to have it, but after your first dance did not go viral, you said, screw this, and you deleted the app. That's what I remember.
It's highly possible.
That's how I remember.
That's a plausible. No, but that, look, okay, so believe it or not, was thinking about going on TikTok at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, let's do it. Lily Ray was on TikTok. I don't know if she still is or not. And I'm like, all right, like, you know, I could do this. Let's see what happens. I even got like a little like holder for my phone so it can go on the stand. It costs like 50 cents. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't want the Chinese government to have my data, literally. So I didn't put it on there. So on the one hand, probably not great. On the other hand, if you're dumb enough to have it on your phone, the Chinese government is going to manipulate it, use it, and get your data. I don't know what that means. Like, what sure. does that mean? The Chinese government is now going to ad target you with like ads about new couches for your living room?
Right. I think that's my biggest thing is it sounds like the biggest complaints are what kind of data can any social media company put out there? And what can someone do with it? So let's just snap our fingers and ban TikTok. What's to stop a shell corporation from buying data from Facebook? Facebook collects the same data and makes it available. So I think, yeah, and I think that's my biggest problem with this is it feels like a witch hunt, which may be justified for the reasons you made about China. I don't disagree with any of that. I just don't see, I guess my problem is, number one, how do you prove a negative? How do you prove that China isn't using it, right?
Yeah,
that's super hard. And if you were to ban it, how do you prove that China isn't purchasing data from...
Well, I guess what you
would
have to do is show when the Chinese government has to try to hack in there and you block them.
Right.
Which they're never going to do, right?
Right. Well, and then the next question is like, well, how many hacks did get through? You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure there's a way to do it. I mean, I am not proficient enough to say yes or no. But back to your point about Facebook. So that's an argument. My take on that is like it's unequivocal. You cannot compare as much as we hate Facebook and we think Mark Zuckerberg is a creep. Right? Mark Zuckerberg is not sending off its national minorities off the camps.
Right.
So
no, he's not.
Yes, they could do things that are not great with data.
But is someone
buying
that data? whether or not Mark Zuckerberg knows who's buying
it. Is Mark Zuckerberg selling it? Like, would Mark Zuckerberg sell it to somebody like China?
Knowingly? No, I don't think he would.
Right. So that's what I mean. Like, you're talking about a known bad actor.
Right.
So to me, creating an equation between them and some creep who has no emotions is, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but is it really equivalent or not?
Are we sure Mark Zuckerberg isn't a Chinese robot?
No.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The whole privacy thing is always going to be an issue. I mean, I think back to one of the first times we had not had a home phone for a while, and then we added one. And before I even knew the phone number, I did not know my own phone number. I was getting telemarketing calls, and they knew my name. And so I called the phone company. I said, why'd you sell my number? We don't do that. I said, well, people are calling and trying to sell me stuff. They're like, well, then you must have signed up for something or given your phone number somewhere. I was like, I don't know my phone number. You know, and that's just what happens is your data gets sold, and then whoever buys it either uses it or resells it. So again, what's to stop Mark Zuckerberg or, you know, any social media company from selling the data legitimately? It's all on the up and up. It's what you agree to in the terms of service and everything else. And then that company does something with it.
Well, I think there are laws about, like, you know, who you can sell. Like, you can't sell the data to, like, you know, Iran.
And we know that most bad actors follow the law. So.
I think if Iran came and said, hey, Facebook, let's buy your data, that'd probably be against some kind of law. It is against.
Right. I don't think Facebook or anyone else would sell directly to those bad actors. But I guess what I'm saying, where there's a will, there's a way. If somebody wants that data, they're going to find a way to get it.
That's true.
And while TikTok might be the easiest avenue, and therefore setting up the firewalls and everything else to keep that from happening is still a good thing and needs to happen. Ban it or not, if a government wants to know how many times you eat asparagus a week, they're going to figure it out.
How many times do
you eat asparagus? 7.
Oh, your pee must smell
once
so
a day.
Weird.
No, this is you. I know this from the data I bought from Mark Zuckerberg.
I don't have asparagus in my country, dude. I never know what you're talking about. I wish we could. I love asparagus.
It's good.
You know, one last thing. It's always important to just want to mention that there's a beef between the U.S. government and the Chinese government. And what you hear from Congress has probably more to do with the beef between governments than it does with TikTok per se.
I think so,
anyway,
too. I was going to say one more thing. In the intro, we talked about the Wi-Fi. Did you see that? The guy that said, when I'm at home and I'm using TikTok, does it get on my Wi-Fi? That was his question. That's why I threw that in there in the intro. And that poor CEO was just like, he's like, maybe I don't understand the question. Do you mean if you're at home and you're not on the cell phone network, does it get on Wi-Fi? And he's like, yeah, does it get on my Wi-Fi? He goes,
Sundar was tweeting.
Like, he's like, yes. Like, just like everything else.
Bro.
Oh my God. It was... it's so silly. Painful to when there are legitimate concerns out there and to have someone ask a question, does this app get on my Wi-Fi? Your whole phone gets on the Wi-Fi,
like,
man.
Some staffers here need to get fired. Like all of these interviews, they just do a terrible thing. Come on, you got to prep these old white dudes to ask the questions.
Yeah. And if he's trying to ask a more in-depth technical question, does the app have access to other devices on my Wi-Fi? That's a good question, but that's not what you said.
It's the TikTok on the internet. Anyway,
right.
You know what is on the internet? Inlinks. We're proud to have Inlinks as a sponsor for Edge of the Web. Did you know that entities play a major role in how search engines understand and rank content on the web? Optimizing your content solely around keywords is a thing of the past. Now is the time to add entities into the mix and reach higher rankings by using Inlinks, an award-winning software in entity SEO. Inlinks provides you with expert-level data to build your content around any keyword so that Google will have a better understanding of the context of your articles. Go to edgeoftheweb.com/inlinks to claim your free Inlinks account and start creating content that will outperform your competitors. Article number 3. From WhiteSpark, their 2023 local search ranking factor study is out. Everything you need to focus on winning local rankings in 2023. Darren Shaw has for you in this awesome resource, the local search ranking factor study by WhiteSpark for 2023. There's a ton of data to go through. I can't go through it all here now. We talked way too much about TikTok, so we have to rush through some things. So it might as well be this. Just kidding. No, but there's some really cool things in there. You see, one of the things that Darren does is he'll show you is a survey of what SEOs, local SEOs think is moving the needle for rankings in 2023. And he'll show you the trends for 2023 relative to the past few years. So for example, links are on a downward trend over the past 4 or 5 years. Local SEOs think that links are moving the needle far less consistently. At the same time, on-page SEO or on-page signals have bumped back up to the highest levels that local SEOs have seen in more than 3 or 4 years, which is interesting. And then one point I thought was just to focus on one particular point in here was that local SEOs think that having product articles, meaning an article or a page for specific products, is very important in 2023. I think that makes a lot of sense if we're talking about Google being more nuanced and Google being more specific about what it's ranking for specific queries. You need to have more specific content around specific products. So it all makes a lot of sense to me, around what's happening in the algorithm and on the SERP in general. Now you have quantified data from local SEO saying something very, very similar. When I see a trend happening across multiple SEO verticals or for multiple SEOs, that to me is something significant. You know, when it comes to things like the Google updates, if I see something like Glenn Gabe or somebody rather like Glenn Gabe and Marie Haynes and Lily Ray, Dr. Pete, so forth, saying the same thing, that to me means, okay, that's probably what's actually going on because you have some really smart people saying the same things. Now in the local space, you have the local SEO saying something that's really aligns to a lot of what the general SEO community has been saying for the last year, couple of years, more so in the last year even. So that to me makes a lot of sense. I thought it was a really interesting point about specific product pages in the local SEO space. Jacob, your take.
This thing is intense. There's a lot in there. There's a lot. So I didn't really have time because I wasn't aware of it until you shared it with me. And I'm really glad you did. So I'm looking forward to reading it more. And it's going to be in the show notes. So I'm glad that you put it in there. And I'm glad you had time to go over it and cover it a little bit better than I could, because there's a lot there. It's deep. I love it.
It's really great. There'll be a quiz on it, Jacob, next week.
Okay. I'll be ready.
Maybe we'll have Darren on to grill you about it.
There we go. I'm ready.
Darren, if you're listening, hit me up. We'll bring you onto the show next week and we'll quiz Jacob together.
Usually
he is a bucky in all of the local SEO factors.
There we go. I'm ready.
All right. This is happening. Let's do it. Okay, time for what we're calling the fast track.
Yeah,
even though it's really the Barry Blitz or the Barry Bonanza or the Barry Bombardment.
Yeah, I like all of those better.
Me too.
Yep.
Let's go with Barry Bombardment.
Okay.
Yeah, okay,
what's
great.
Up first?
First up, Google clarifies its 15 megabyte Googlebot limit is for each individual sub-resource, so HTML, then another 15 for JavaScript, and so forth. So that's good to know. Glad Google clarified that. By the way, you can check out all the great Midjourney stuff that Barry's doing with the images now on SEROundtable.com. So I've been looking at the same images for the last, 10 years on SEROundtable, but now there's new ones.
Yay.
So another reason to head to SEROundtable.com and check out what Barry's doing there. His Midjourney game is awesome. All right, Google ranking updates. Edit the Google search status dashboard. So Google giving you a search status dashboard, which tells you, are there crawling issues? Like, what's happening? And now they've added in when there's a ranking update. So you can get the full aggregate health of what's going on in the Google ecosystem right there in that dashboard. Thank you, Google. That's a nice little update there. All right, on to number three. Bing Chat access content behind paywalls. Is that the title of the article? Bing Chat grammar good, Barry not. Bing Chat access, I think it means, can Bing Chat access content behind paywalls?
I think you're right.
I think we're right.
Is this new?
Like AI might have written the title for this article or not.
Is this new?
Or not. Probably not. So Bing kind of clarifies sometimes, sort of, kind of, maybe. If you pull up the tweet, there we go. So we have seen examples where paywall content is being used in Bing summaries with content that it was clearly not hallucinated, but could only be found in the paywalled articles. Actual quotes, assumption being through the SEO backdoor, but no hard confirmation yet. So people are seeing paywalled content show up. Barry Adams chimed in. It's a tricky minefield. That's right, Barry. Two Barrys. Wow, that's like blown my mind. There's Barry Adams on Barry's blog. It's Barry Overload, Barry Bombardment. So Barry Adams, who you should follow on Twitter, he wrote, it's a tricky minefield. If proven that these generative AIs are trained proprietary and or paywalled content, it opens the door to, shall we say, interesting litigation. Maybe they'll go in front of Congress and ask if the paywall content's on the Wi-Fi.
I hope that's the first question.
This is my only question. Crystal Carter's been talking about this, that in a world where you want to differentiate yourself, maybe you do want to have your content behind a paywall, but if the AI chat are ignoring that. There goes that strategy. That ends the Barry bombardment for this week.
That was good. That was quick.
Yeah. Well, I'm 5 minutes late for a meeting.
All right.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a quick question before you go?
Oh, no. Go ahead. Ask me. I'm running late. What's the difference?
Who's on SEO chat?
Oh, Sammy Ellard King is on SEO chat this week. We are chatting about SEO stuff on SEO chat Thursday, which is tomorrow when we're recording this. 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What are we talking about? Not sure yet. So SEO stuff.
That sounds good to me.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. News out.
Salute. Play you out, Morty.
I love reading the titles on these slides, you guys. News out. That's how we should end every show. News out. That's it for the Edge news this week. Also dropping this week is the first set with Greg Finn over the Marketing Clock podcast, talking about Google ad support. We also recently had him on the SERPs Up podcast over at wix.com/SEO/learn, but that episode didn't come out yet. It's coming out in a week or two. So check out the SERPs Up podcast and look for Greg Finn on that podcast too. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and get updated when we go live with our next show. From all of us over at Edge and the SERPs Up SEO podcast, stay safe and well, and don't be a piece of cyber driftwood. News out.
Fart is not search.